Tessie, my heart. You have to move to a place with an elevator.
So, not even a hello?
I have to tell you, Bubbler. You saved me.
What are you talking about, Bernice? You're talking like I'm a sugar-na.
From the heavens you came, I tell you. Mark and Buffy are hosting the Passover Seder this year.
Oy, a shiksa Pesach. What's she serving? Cucumber sandwiches with a crust cut off?
She's a Shana Madel. Just don't eat a krepla. Anyway, I had no idea what to bring them and the kids. And then I remembered you telling me all about Bubble Genius, the delights they have. I found this afikoman-wrapped matzah, the matzah-shaped unleavened bread-scented soap.
Oh my God, how wonderful! And a little education for Buffy in the bargain.
Too right. And they can't complain. It'll get the kids in the tub. No problem.
Well, I don't want to say I told you so, but, you know. We got you covered.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
They bled us, what a bastard. They taken everything we had. And not just from us. From our fathers, and from our fathers' fathers.
And from our fathers' fathers' fathers.
Yeah.
And from our fathers' 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 fathers.
You're all right, Stan, don't labor the point. And what have they ever given us in return?
The aqueduct? What? The aqueduct?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they did give us that. That's true, yeah.
And the sanitation.
Oh, yeah, the sanitation, Reg. Remember what the city used to be like?
Yeah, all right, I'll grant you, the aqueduct and sanitation are two things the Romans have done.
And the roads.
Well, yeah, obviously the roads. I mean, the roads go without saying, don't they? But apart from the sanitation, the aqueduct and the roads...
Irrigation.
Medicine. Education. Yeah, yeah, all right, fair enough.
And the wine.
Yeah, that's something we've really missed, Reg, if the Romans left.
Public baths.
And it's safe to walk in the streets at night now, Reg.
Yeah, they certainly know how to keep order. Let's face it, the only ones who could in a place like this.
All right, but apart from the sanitation, the medicine, education, wine, public order, irrigation, roads, a fresh water system and public health, what have the Romans ever done for us?
Brought peace?
Oh, peace! Shut up!
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Radio goes with life. A salt and pepper, a fork and knife. Radio goes with life.
Number 67, Family Feast.
Number 67!
Right here. Right here.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Jerry.
And don't forget your steamed broccoli. Hold it. Broccoli? Newman, you wouldn't eat broccoli if it was deep fried in chocolate sauce.
I love broccoli. It's good for you.
Really? Then maybe you'd like to have a piece.
Gladly. Vile weed!
Oh, the podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is March 15th, Thursday, 2012. And this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez.
Yep.
As I wrote on Twitter, we've got a couple of huge steaming buckets of show today. Not only for this show, but also for the big after party.
Caught me just as I was watching the final scene on YouTube from They Shoot Horses, Don't They?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a good way to depress yourself on a relatively pretty Thursday afternoon here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, sounds like it. Sounds like that's uplifting entertainment. Thursday afternoon.
Fonda looked really hot in that, though. Jane Fonda was like a babe back in the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. And she finally...
Like Barbarella changed my life.
And, you know, she just recently reneged on her no plastic surgery pledge, and it went horribly awry.
Of course.
There was a thing, in fact, there was a thing on the Huffington Post about celebrities who have had botched plastic surgery. This is really a topic for the after party, but I mean, it's remarkable how many people have really ruined their faces. I mean, popular, famous people with very recognizable faces who have destroyed their faces with plastic surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at Kenny Rogers.
Let's not, please.
Meg Ryan, for God's sake. What? I don't understand what possesses these people.
Used to be adorable.
I mean, you know, it's like a form of self-mutilation. I mean, that's the way I kind of look at it. Unless you've got some sort of bizarre disfigurement. You know, if you're having, tumors removed from your jaw or something like that. Okay.
Well, they say that if you do a little bit at a time, mm-hmm. that's supposedly the correct way to do it.
Yeah.
Like, you make little minute changes sort of as you go. Instead of trying to do one gigantic facelift or something like that, then it somehow makes it better. I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, I'd never do that. I'd never do that unless I had some sort of really awful, horrendous accident that just utterly wrecked my face. Then maybe. Maybe this is a topic we can pick up again on the After Party. We've got lots of stuff to talk about on the After Party. If you haven't subscribed to the After Party, what are you waiting for God's sake? All you got to do is go to the blog. You go to the After Party page. You can see it right there on the top of the blog at bobsesca.com. You go there. You sign up. It's very simple to do. It's all through PayPal. And even if you don't have PayPal, you can still use your credit card. And then the $6 a month gets automatically withdrawn from your account. Plus, you get, you know, all of this show. I mean, it's a new After Party every week. About an hour worth of show, maybe a little more sometimes. And, you know, it's like this exclusive little club where we all, you know, it's kind of this intimate little thing where it's us and, you know, you and me, Chez, and we talk to a very exclusive group of people. And
yes,
we, you know,
that's the way I look at it.
That's that's right. And we reveal things that we probably shouldn't be revealing in public every damn week. So if you haven't subscribed to the After Party, go ahead and do that. You know, I noticed today.
You get to hear us talk about injecting stuff into our penises or somebody's penises.
I don't know what?
We talked about injecting in penises last week.
That's right. That's exactly. That was the sort of the centerpiece of last week's show. And I have an update on that.
Uh-oh.
I have an update on that.
You
that
tried
story.
It?
Yeah, I did.
Excellent.
No.
How'd that work out?
Not good. I hated the itching, but I didn't mind the swelling.
good one.
Yeah, you know what? Speaking of tragic, you know, on the we're gonna reserve this for the we're gonna talk about Coney on the After Party. And a story that I think everyone will appreciate given the last month or two of
Coney Island?
Of news
I love
happening.
That place.
Coney Island, yes, exactly. You know, the roller coasters and the hot dogs and all of that, and the genocide. Mm. We're also going to talk about. This is going to be the sort of the main personal topic. We're going to talk about heroes or people we admire who, when we finally met them, were just absolute D-bags to us. that's what we're going to talk about at the After Party, plus a bunch of other things, including some funny news audio, which I always like to play. Mm. I noticed today, just before we started the show, first day ever. This is for the first time ever, the Dow closed above 13,000. The S&P 500 closed above 1,400. And the NASDAQ closed above 3,000 all today. As Steve Bannon wrote on Maddow blog, socialism indeed.
Huh? I was going to say, our socialist president at work.
And you know, I mean, they're going to try to find a way. The Republicans will try to find a way to spin this as if this is a big crisis.
Of course they will.
I'm guessing the approach is going to be, well, get ready for the crash. But I mean, very few people understand that the way the president has approached the economic recovery is infinitely smart. It's a slow. I mean, it's slow. Almost. I get frustrated with the slowness of the growth, but at the same time, I wonder maybe that's part of the plan. Maybe the idea is to establish a solid infrastructure for the economy. And infrastructure, not meaning roads, but infrastructure in terms of the support system on which the economy grows. And so this way the economy grows at a slow and steady pace, but isn't artificially inflated by these quick fix bubbles.
Right.
Which we've been seeing, you know, throughout the last 20 years. Whenever there's an economic downturn, let's come up with some new way to supercharge the economy. And then it just explodes and then subsequently craps all over us.
We're all back in the shitter again.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened in the late 90s. And we saw the crash occur later on, right around 2000. And then we saw that again, you know, this past recession, where we had a housing bubble. We had all kinds of bubbles happening simultaneously, mostly fueled by deregulation and the housing. But that's not happening this time. I'm so relieved to see that, Chez, because, you know, it just it's a smart way to do this. And I don't think it's really going to be fully appreciated for maybe in, for another 8 years, another 10 years. People, historians, economists are going to look back and say, you know what, maybe this was the right way to do it. Maybe there was a slow and steady wins the race mentality going on here that was indeed effective. So glad to see that. And, you know, say what you will about the Dow and how the 1% are making all kinds of money while everyone else is struggling. At the same time, the Dow is important. The S&P is important. The NASDAQ is important for anyone who has a retirement fund, anyone who has mutual funds, anyone who's saving for college. Ordinary people do benefit from a better Wall Street. I'm not defending law. I mean, I'm suddenly seeing all of the email flooding towards me. I'm not defending Wall Street, the villains and the bastards who destroyed the economy. I'm just saying that, you know, when the Dow goes
the
up.
No, the institution of our stock market is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
And when it does well, there are ancillary benefits for, you know, for even people who are not sort of directly associated with it. No, there's a difference, though, between the mechanism and the way it's intended to work and the way it's been abused for, you know, the past several years, if not longer.
So, yeah, that's all good news. I mean, you can't scoff at this and say, bah, 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 1% just doing better and we're all getting crapped upon. It's not that way. It's we're all, you know, we're all going to better. Anyone who has.
It would be nice if it translated better for everybody. But
that's true. Yeah. That's true. And I think there's still lots of work to do on that front. And there's still lots of regulation to do. And don't forget, there was a Wall Street reform bill that the president signed, pejoratively known as Dodd-Frank. But, it was a first step. And I think we're going to see more in the president's second term, would-be second term. So anyway, I don't know if you noticed, but, you know, abortion and birth control continue to be in the news, and it continues to dominate the news.
It's astonishing that we're refighting this.
I'm not exactly sure why, because the Republicans have got to understand at this point that it's a losing fight for them. I mean, they're not being helped by any of this. You know, you have today swing state. Kind of a purple state, Pennsylvania. The governor of Pennsylvania, who, by the way, Tom Corbett, has obliterated education funding in that state. I mean, he's just completely decimated. He's just cutting, slashing and burning like all the Tea Party, the Tea Party crowd who entered office a couple of years ago. You know, this guy is also shepherding through this this anti-birth control bill. No, it's an anti-abortion bill. And it was originally going to be one of those invasive transducer, transvaginal ultrasound bills. But they have since walked it back, and now it's just going to be an external ultrasound that's occurring.
I thought it didn't specify. Meaning that whatever the doctor thinks is necessary.
Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. You're exactly right. I stand totally corrected. It is.
Yeah, they don't specifically mention that, but it's basically alluded to that if you're not far enough along to where the jelly on the belly ultrasound can, you know, spot your baby, then they're going to have to, you know, penetrate you with a giant Harry Potter wand.
Tom Corbett today kind of stepped in it. He really stepped in it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's one thing to pass these awful bills. It's another thing to kind of stand up in front of cameras and kind of just laugh it off. Like, what's the big deal? And it just shows, I mean, the legislation itself is harsh enough, but to get up there and treat it euphemistically and almost joke about it is even worse. And yeah, this is going to help Tom Corbett with the T of Pennsylvania, as Chuck Todd likes to call it, the sort of the Alabama center of Pennsylvania. But, you know, the coasts that are the coasts of Pennsylvania, right? The east and west portions of Pennsylvania, the Pittsburgh side and the Philadelphia side, they're not going to like this at all. Not a single bit.
I'm going to find it very hard to sort of talk about this subject on this show.
Yeah.
As opposed to like the after party, because I want to swear. I want to swear a lot. Go ahead.
Well,
if you're gonna play, if you've got the sound, go.
I don't have the sound. I'm just going to read it because I think it's more effective to just read the text. Corbett says, "I'm not making anybody watch, okay?" He means he's not making anybody watch the screen during the ultrasound. Because you just have to close your eyes, he says. As long as it's on the exterior and not the interior.
Which, once again, that bill apparently does not specify that it's going to be only on the exterior.
That's exactly right.
So he's full of shit to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a mess. Now, this guy's a mess. I seriously doubt he's going to win re-election.
And he says, "You just have to close your eyes." Those are the words of a date rapist. Just
right.
Sickening. Just revolting.
Yeah, yeah.
All I could think of when I heard that was, you know, I have a daughter. You know, I have a girlfriend. And if anybody ever said that kind of thing to them, or tried to do the things that these people are doing, as God is my witness, I punched that son of a bitch in the mouth.
Yeah. Well,
that was my first thought. My first thought was, you know what? I would love nothing more than to walk up to Corbett and just slug him or any one of these assholes.
That's right.
And that's why, you know, I'm going, you know, I'm getting pissed here. I'm, you know, swearing and, you know, my apologies for whatever you have to bleep. But yeah, it's just it's repulsive.
It is. And the idea of we're going to violate your right to privacy in the most intimate way possible. Just keep your eyes shut while we do it. Just don't look.
Yeah,
that's okay. It's okay. You know what? Your best protection are your eyelids against the government intruding into your most private of areas. Just close your eyes. Don't worry. Don't worry. As long as you keep your eyes shut, you won't notice the massively unprecedented invasion of privacy. It's unbelievable.
It's a date rapist. That's what, you know. A date rapist says something like, "Just close your eyes."
That's right. And I even saw someone tweeted speculating whether or not Tom Corbett has to tell that to his wife before they have sex.
I was actually – I actually said that I get the impression that he said that before. This is not the first time he said that to a woman.
We're going to take a quick break. Back after this.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
And we are back. Raconteurs right there. Salute your solution.
Come on, hit the post. You can do it.
You did it.
Oh, did I do it?
Good job. Yes, indeed, sir. You know, I was busy hitting my GD stopwatch.
How far away from Rocktober? How many months from Rocktober?
Rocktober, that's right.
Rocktober. On every single Clear Channel station across the country. Rocktober.
Rocktober, that's right. That's right. Well, I want to continue on this topic. We were talking about Tom Corbett before the break, And I mean, there's more. There's more on this front. And it gets worse. I mean, in fact, I think Tom Corbett was the least awful offender on this topic over the last couple of days.
I mean, that's just difficult to imagine.
Well, then you have Mitt Romney saying that he wants to, if he's elected president, that he is absolutely going to. Well, first he said, Mitt Romney said that Planned Parenthood, we're going to get rid of that. That's what he said.
Mitt Romney's just kissing ass.
Of course he is.
He doesn't believe any of the nonsense that comes out of his mouth.
But don't think for a second that he's going to veto a defunding of Planned Parenthood. He is absolutely going to sign a defunding of Planned Parenthood. If that crosses his desk, he is going to sign that. Meanwhile, I don't know if you saw this, Chez, in Arizona. Good God. Arizona continues to get...
The sunset? Beautiful sunsets there.
Well, they continue to get worse on the abortion front. If you remember last week, we talked about one of the laws that were that was making its way through the state Senate about how if there's something wrong with the pregnancy, the doctor is not obligated to tell the mother if it might result in an abortion.
Yeah.
That passed the Arizona State Senate, by the way.
Of course it did.
Right.
Arizona. Ironically, the state where most of its political leaders should have been aborted.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean.
Are you there?
And so, yeah. So there's more. There's more on that front. And believe it or not, it actually gets worse. This is kind of worse than that.
The new series of self-help videos for kids. It gets worse.
It gets worse. The Senate Judiciary Committee voted 6-2 on Monday to endorse a controversial bill that would allow Arizona employers the right to deny health insurance coverage for contraceptives based on religious objections. Arizona House Bill 2625, authored by Majority Whip Debbie Lesko, R. Glendale, would prevent employers to ask or would permit employers to ask their employees for proof of medical prescription if they seek contraceptives for non-reproductive purposes, such as hormone control or acne treatment.
Good. Seriously, good.
Right.
You know what? Go for it. Like, as you're so fond of saying, keep it up. You're doing great.
Prove to us that you're not using this to have sex. That's basically right.
No, it doesn't matter. Seriously, go. Do it. Do all of this is fantastic. This is all great news from the front. Because the more they keep up this culture war crap, and quite frankly, piss off almost half the population, aside from, you know, the Stepford wife voting block.
Yeah.
You know, the quicker they're going to hasten their extinction. And I, for one, am waiting with bated breath.
That's right.
I'm standing on the sidelines with big pom-poms going, keep at it, guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, this is what you're right about that. This is what we're moving toward.
Exactly. Well, they're going to be safe havens for where women, states where women can enjoy basic health care and freedoms.
And the other side will think that there are going to be places where there are safe havens for, asshole cowboys to wander the streets with six guns strapped to their sides.
That's right. That's right. There will be states where it will be 1950, and there will be states where it will be 2012 and beyond. And those states that remain in 1950, I mean, we're going to play later on in the show a brilliant piece of audio from Real Time with Bill Maher Friday night. Alexandra Pelosi went to Mississippi and interviewed several people, and both she and Bill Maher insisted that they did not cherry pick the subjects of these interviews, that they just went out and talked to whoever they stumbled upon in Mississippi. And it's such a fantastic illustration of the contradictions and the inexplicable logic that happens in these states where they just don't care what makes sense. They don't care what constitutes everything from marital freedom to reproductive freedom to civil rights and on down the line. They just don't care that all they care about are these antiquated notions that have been implanted in their heads over the years through their upbringing and through talk radio and Fox News. And it's completely misled them to the point where Mississippi is the poorest state in the United States. And they just don't care. And you'll hear in this audio. And it's the same thing that's happening in all of these.
That's all right. The real riches are waiting for them in the afterlife.
Yeah.
That's where that whole freaking idiocy comes from. It's the way to, you know, that clinging to the guns and religion thing, I've always thought is very true. But the religion thing comes about, you know, the sort of my, you know, my my riches are in heaven comes about as a way to sort of balance the equation, to balance everybody out. Yeah, sure, Mr. So-and-so, with your liberal education and, you know, all your wealth and all your knowledge. But you know what? I'm as rich as you because my real reward's waiting in heaven.
That's right.
Shut up.
So in states like Arizona and Alabama and Pennsylvania that are passing these laws, Virginia, North Carolina, these are states where they just say, well, we just want to dominate women. And we don't care what effect that has. We want to be able to tell women what they can and can't do with their bodies. Because that's what good Americans do. That's what good, God-fearing, white Christian Americans do. They simply do not care what the repercussions, both political and societal, actually are. As everyone makes a mass exodus out of all of these states that are building up these ridiculous misogynistic Berlin walls around themselves.
We aging white guys know what's best for you.
Right.
We'll take care of that. Just trust us.
We're going to take a quick break back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
That's what we're called, and we're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com, as you heard the name of the show. Still awaiting the injectable Viagra sponsorship. You got Easter coming up, and if you don't want to gain all kinds of weight from the chocolatey candies and all the jelly beans, I love the jelly beans. This is my favorite thing about Easter. I just devour them by the handful and then feel like a bloated idiot, you know, for the subsequent 3 hours as I yak my guts up. So if you don't want to experience Easter like I do by being sick from overeating candy, you might want to order some chocolate bunny soaps from Bubble Genius. And here
you are truly keeping Jesus in Easter or whatever, keeping the eat in Easter.
Right. Here's the latest word from Bubble Genius.
Hey, Tessie, my heart. You have to move to a place with an elevator.
So, not even a hello?
I have to tell you, Bubbla, you saved me.
What are you talking about, Bernice? You're talking like a mashugana.
From the heavens you came, I tell you. Mark and Buffy are hosting the Passover Seder this year.
Oh, you shiks a Pesach. What's she serving? Cucumber sandwiches with a crust cut off?
She's a Shane and Madel. Just don't eat a kreplach. Anyway, I had no idea what to bring them and the kids. And then I remembered you telling me all about Bubble Genius, the delights they have. I found this afikoman-wrapped matzah, the matzah-shaped unleavened bread-scented soap.
Oh my God, how wonderful! And a little education for Buffy in the bargain.
Too right. And they can't complain. It'll get the kids in the tub. No problem.
Well, I don't want to say I told you so, but, you know. We got you covered.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And send all of your complaint mail to bubblegenius.com.
That was the sound of me shooting myself in the head.
I thought it was great. But if you're offended, send your hate mail to Bubble Genius. And make sure
and make them pay for my BS.
When you go buy your juice soap at Bubble Genius, make sure to enter your promo code, which is Bob and Chez, BOBANDCHEZ, and get 15% off your entire order.
That was fun. I'm keeping that ready from now on.
What's that?
That's a gun sound effect, obviously.
Oh, okay. Right. So anyway, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there are some good people who are fighting the good fight on this front and other fronts. But specifically the contraception and abortion war against women, Hillary Clinton, I think, had what was hands down the quote of the week. And it was kind of understated. It was in typical Hillary Clinton form. She wasn't naming names, but she made it perfectly clear who she was talking to. And I love the use of the word extremists. Here now is the Secretary of State of the United States of America.
Why extremists always focus on women remains a mystery to me. But they all seem to. It doesn't matter what country they're in or what religion they claim. They all want to control women. They want to control how we dress. They want to control how we act. They even want to control the decisions we make about our own health and our own bodies. Yes, it is hard to believe, but even here at home, we have to stand up for women's rights and reject efforts to marginalize any one of us, because America needs to set an example for the entire world.
Yeah, that's it, right there. I'm going to add.
I like the implication that basically these people are the Taliban.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. That's what she's saying. She's basically saying
right. These people are the Taliban.
How can we go around to Middle Eastern countries where there's genital mutilation and there's oppression of women and these horrible, horrible laws? Whether they're in Afghanistan, they're in Pakistan, they're in Iraq, they're in Iran, they're in East Africa. No matter where they are, we can't possibly go around and say you're doing a bad thing when we're telling women that if you want to have this difficult procedure, you've gone through all of the painstaking decision making process that requires you to get to that point where you're walking into the clinic. You're going to get in there and
we're going to stick a wand inside you.
That's right. And then Bob McDonnell and Tom Corbett, through their proxies, are going to vaginally violate
uterus.
You. Yeah, that's exactly right. Like I guess say, in order for you to proceed with this, it's not just difficult enough that you've been through this whole ordeal up to this point. We're going to put this inside of you. And then we're going to try to intimidate you. Into not doing the thing that you want to do. That you have gone through, God only knows how many levels of hell to get to that point. To work up the nerve. To whether it's, you know, do you get your significant other to help pay for it? Do they show up? Did they want you to do it? Did they not want you to do it? Was there a debate over that? Are you wrestling?
Are you all alone?
Are you exactly? Can you afford to have a pregnancy?
Are you
at that
facing
point in time?
All of this down on your own, without any help, without any support?
Yeah. And then you get in there, and oh, by the way, there's one more indignity to all of this. That's right. That's right. The state of Virginia is going to rape you if you want to proceed. Unbelievable. And then we're going around saying, yeah, tisk, 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 Afghanistan and your archaic laws against women, tisk, tisk. Can't do that.
That's why we'll indiscriminately gun down 16 of you.
That's right. Well, you know, a similar thing happened, and I reference this movie as or this book as often as I can. And the book is called Slavery by Another Name. Mm. And the way it was finally discovered and smoked out, the way they finally eliminated this was because the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And you go, well, how the hell does the Japanese bombing Pearl Harbor relate to slavery? Or relate to, you know, arresting black people in the South on BS charges and then selling them off to, you know, companies that shove them into coal mines and into fields where they're never seen again. How does that relate? Well, it's because when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, we declared war on Japan, we declared war on Germany. Franklin Roosevelt said, you know, called in the director of the FBI and said, well, what are we doing that will make us look like hypocrites? Is there anything that we're doing inside the United States that will make us look like asses to the world as we're fighting oppression in Germany and Japan or Europe and Japan? And director of FBI said, well, you know what? There's this thing that's happening in the South. Let me tell you all about it. You know, there's those Jim Crow laws, things like ridiculous laws like vagrancy. If you don't have a job, we can pick you up for just wandering around, arrest you, and then put you in prison not really tell you what you're being charged with. And then we can sell you to a company that will put you on a chain gang in a mine where you'll never be seen again. That's what we're doing in the South, Mr. President. So, FDR...
No, chances are he had to leave out the in the South part because that was pretty much, you know...
Yeah.
It was easy to figure that out.
That's right. The South part was a given.
Right. Let me guess where this is happening in the United States.
Do I need to say Alabama, Mississippi, you know, Georgia, Florida...
Those idiots.
Kentucky,
again.
You know... So the same principle is at work here. I mean, you can't go around saying fighting oppression, you know, freeing the people of Iraq from an oppressive dictator, which become the last excuse for the invasion of Iraq by the right. You can't do that and then say, oh, you know what, here in America, if you're a woman, you're a second-class citizen, because you don't get to decide what happens to your reproductive organs. We're going to say what happens to you. We're going to tell you exactly what you get and what you don't get. One last break back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Oh, man, I love this album, Urge Overkill.
Great record.
Hey, second post for you today. Good job.
Machio Nassus.
You are the DWJAY.
That's right. Yeah, once again, another band out of Chicago, man. Something in the water up there. Those guys write amazing pop songs.
They're not around anymore, sadly. Urge Overkill no longer making music. They lost their drummer, Blackie Onassis. I think died, I think, of a drug overdose at some point. Mm. And the band broke up after that. But it's a shame, man. You know, whenever I hear that Urge Overkill album, it just takes me right back to 1994.
It's a good record.
Yeah. So when I first really seriously started doing radio, and it was college radio at the time, so, you know, I got to pick my own playlists and things like that. So it was like Urge Overkill and Afghan Whigs, and it was just like those, and Blur. It was like the same bands over again. But that was the great thing about college radio.
I worship at the altar of Greg Dooley. You have no idea. He's a rotten, misanthropic, misogynist bastard. And I'm not saying I'm, well, not misogynist, but,
And you love him.
But I do love him for that. Yeah, he's a drunk. God bless him. Or at least he used to be.
Hey, you know, I was looking at Talking Points memo before we started the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was just kind of making my rounds. I have rounds that I do. It's like the same, you know, group of maybe...
Dr. Seska.
Two dozen links that I visit for my bookmarks in my... Firefox, and Talking Points Memo is one of the top ones, one of the ones I look at like hourly. And I don't know why, but they're top of all the things that we've discussed and talked about on this show, that everything's going on in the world right now, whether it's birth control, whether it's the election, whether it's, but for God's sake, that Kony 2012 documentary, which we're going to talk about. But this was the headline. On Talking Points Memo, you talk about something that is appropriate for the Ides of March, A2 Brute. The top story on Talking Points Memo was Obama mangles U.S. world history in energy speech. That was the top story on Talking Points Memo. I don't get that. I mean, Josh Marshall's an exorbitantly smart guy. And Talking Points Memo has been like a staple in the blogosphere for like going on 10 years now or something.
Yeah, I like Josh.
I don't know what the hell's going on. Josh Marshall. I don't know what's happening with this. I don't know why he posted this. Because you read the story, and it's like, well, you know, a couple things that are a little bit apocryphal. Like Rutherford B. Hayes didn't exactly reject the telephone. That's what the president was saying, that President Rutherford B. Hayes said that the telephone was something that wasn't really going to go anywhere. He just dismissed it. And their big report here is saying that, well, he didn't quite do that. He kind of embraced the phone a little bit. It's like, well, this is your top story? And then the other thing was, is he's talking about president was talking about Flat Earth Society in Christopher Columbus's days. And comparing that to the Republican right and people denying, you know, science and things like that. And so they quibble with that too, and saying that there were some people in those in Christopher Columbus's days that thought that the Earth was in fact spheroid. Like, what, God, are you kidding me? It's like,
whatever.
This is just, you want to talk about picking nits. And I'm not sure, again, I don't know exactly why they would come up with such a thing. Oh, yeah, oh, my God, there were people in Christopher Columbus's days who thought the world was round, and the president, oh, my God, is totally horribly wrong. How could he possibly do this?
That's like a Fox News conspiracy.
Impeach, impeach.
Impeach, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't understand. I don't get that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's why I don't read.
I played at the top of the show, I played that clip from The Life of Brian where they're talking about all the different things. What have the Romans done for us anyway? What have they done? And then they start listing all of the things. And he goes, well, besides the roads and the aqueducts and the wine and the sanitation, what has he done? What have the Romans done? And it's, you know, it's obvious. Chez, did you watch Game Change over the weekend?
I did not. No, a bunch of people I know told me that I should watch it, but
well, I
had a thing.
I heard it was really good. I sadly do not have HBO right now. I would have loved to have seen it. On the other hand, you know, I've seen a lot of these recent history sort of
I feel like I just watched it.
Yeah.
Like I actually saw it unfold, and there's no real reason. From what I hear, that it didn't really tell you anything you didn't already know if you were paying attention to politics during that period.
That's right. Well, other than some of the Sarah Palin behind-the-scenes meltdowns, which we heard about, and now Steve Schmidt and others from the McCain campaign kind of confirmed. But, you know, I'm kind of skeptical with those types of biopics where it's just like it's something that just it was that going all the way back to The Late Shift. Remember the story about the late night talk show wars?
Yeah.
And how they did it like 3 days after it was kind of resolved. And they had a guy dressed up like Letterman with kind of like a bright red Ronald McDonald wig on. I forget the actor's name. He's part of the Christopher Guest crowd. Played Letterman in that. But they've done a bunch of those kinds of movies where it just happened. You know, these people are still alive and quite healthy and quite well. And it just seems like it's like really trying too hard to stick well-known actors in stupid wigs and pass them off as other people who are well known, and those actors have probably met the actual people
just
recently.
Yeah, I was working at NBC at the time when Late Shift came out, and yeah. It was fun to sort of, you know, see who was playing who.
right.
Like, oh, that's Warren Littlefield. All right.
But the one thing that I missed that I wish they had included, because this is my favorite clip of Sarah Palin, but this wasn't in the movie, and to me this was the biggest gaffe. That Sarah Palin, I don't even know if it's a gaffe. I think it's just an illustration of how idiotic she is. This is the biggest mistake that she made in the 2008 campaign.
One of the things you talked about last night was the flexibility that the vice presidency has.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
That thankfully our founders were wise enough to say we have this position and it's constitutional. Vice president will be able to be not only the position flexible, but it's going to be sort of those other duties as assigned by the president. A simple thing. I don't think that was a gaffe at all.
Right. Did you understand any of that?
Nope. Word salad.
Position flexible in there. Somehow.
Whatever.
She couldn't explain what the vice president does. And she was running for vice president. That's to me, that's the shining example of Sarah Palinism. And it wasn't in the movie. Wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, but whatever. I honestly, I think I put something up about Palin recently, something incredibly stupid that she said. For the most part, I've stopped.
Yeah.
She's the self-parody, the joke that meta joke that just keeps coming back on itself.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing
all
is,
she has to do is open her mouth. It's like calling her stupid at this point is just a waste of your time.
Well, I'm kind of always in debate with myself and just so ambivalent about whether or not to talk about Sarah Palin. Because on one hand, yeah, she's not as influential as she could have been if she decided to become a serious player in politics. She's just become a pundit and not a very good one at that. Right? And she's become she writes Facebook things like a tween, you know, like a little kid. But at the same time, I think it's always important to remind ourselves how close we can come to someone like this ascending to the presidency, how desperate politicians will decide to do anything and everything in order to win. And John McCain, I think, is to blame way more than anyone else in that entire debacle. John McCain risked the security of America
in a play for votes.
And our economy in a play for votes. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, rank bald-faced crappy opportunism.
I mean, I'd love to write, you know, and Newt Gingrich does this, so I don't know how much I want to jump onto this gravy train. But I would love to write a book that is, two books actually, that have like alternate histories. I would like to write an alternate history about the would-be Al Gore presidency, if Al Gore had won the election in 2000. How Al Gore would have reacted to 9/11 and things like that. And then I'd also like to write an alternate history about what would have happened if McCain and Sarah Palin had won in 2008. Just kind of imagining, and maybe I'm a sucker for punishment, but just imagining what would have happened if they had won. What would have happened with the economy? What would have happened with national – what would have happened in Iraq or Iran or the Middle East in general? What would have happened in Afghanistan or North Korea if these morons had been elected in 2008? I can tell you the economy would not be growing right now. We would the whole notion of like you know, Mad Max Barter Town would be pretty damn close to coming true. Because what they would have done is they would have done some sort of Bush-style stimulus. Like Bush passed a stimulus package, an economic stimulus package early in 2008. But it was nothing but like tax incentives. It was only $150 billion, and it was all in like tax cuts and things like that. And clearly it didn't help at all.
Yeah.
Maybe staved off the disaster by a couple of weeks. And that's exactly what they would have done. McCain would have relented, said, well, we got to do a stimulus package. He would have passed something, and it would have been a disaster, and GDP would have continued to tank. Unemployment would have continued to tank. Jobs would have been hemorrhaging out of the ass end of this country, and they would have just had no sense of what to do. You remember those emergency meetings in the fall of 2008, and McCain and Obama both turning up to the White House to meet with the president, and McCain not saying a damn thing during those entire meetings, while President Obama was there, you know, asking questions and trying to involve himself in the conversation with the White House. And then if something had happened to John McCain, good God, help us all.
Yep.
And on that note, I don't know if you saw Real Time with Bill Maher Friday night.
I did not.
But here is this report that Alexandra Pelosi did for Real Time, where she went to Mississippi and interviewed ordinary Mississippi residents. We want a great illustration. Well, not so great. But a great illustration in terms of the mentality of what's happening behind these what I've been calling a Berlin Wall behind some of these really red states.
This is going to depress me so much.
Stand by for this. And they assure the public that they did not cherry pick these people, that the same sorts of people ended up on the cutting room floor as ended up in the actual documentary, the short documentary. It was about 2 minutes long. Stand by. Listen to the whole thing. You won't regret it.
Hey, Bill. I'm here in Mississippi, the poorest state in America, which is also the most conservative state in our union.
So why is Mississippi so conservative?
Well, you're in the heart of the Bible Belt. We believe in family. We believe in Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Whoever gets elected needs to be family orientated.
God should come into his mind in everything that he does.
You never liked the president, did you?
Never, and never will.
Why not?
One thing, his name is Obama.
This is America. Our president should be American, not Muslim.
I don't even like it. When I see him on TV, I turn it off. I don't like it.
Is it because he's black?
No, it's not because he's black or he's a half-breed. He's black too, but he's half.
I guess I'm a little prejudiced.
Are you? You don't black people?
Not much.
Why not?
Just don't.
What is this? Where are we?
We're in the state of Mississippi. I don't care for the government. They don't show me anything.
You get food stamps.
Yeah, but I think I deserve food stamps. I have no unemployment.
There it is. Here.
I think it's retarded and pointless.
But a lot of people in Mississippi need health care.
Yeah. Back when I was growing up and when my parents were growing up and my grandparents were growing up, we didn't have all that and people still made it. And back then, people pulled their own weight. They didn't sit around waiting for everyone else to take care of them.
So you don't care about the economy?
No. Just take care of yourself. You put God back in the saddle, and I'll be okay.
So something's not working here.
That's
voting
right.
Voting Republican hasn't worked for you.
But it could.
But it hasn't.
It hasn't, but it could.
Why is the poorest state the most conservative state?
We would rather go broke and die hungry than to give up our moral beliefs.
I feel like voting God and voting faith is more important to me than voting for free money or voting for a handout.
I'm going to stand up for what I believe in, even if I go broke doing it.
We're not going to be pushed over. We lost the war. That's true. But we're not going to be pushed around. We're not going to back down from what we believe. And like the tag on the front of my truck says, the South will rise again.
He was talking about
the civil freaking war.
Yeah.
That they still haven't let go of.
I mean, it's...
You know what, please, for God's sake, secede again. I beg of you.
You know, it'd be hilarious because it would just be like 10 hillbillies against the full force of the United States military.
No, I mean, seriously, cut them loose, you know? Let them go. Let them have their own little bizarre little fiefdom down there with, you know, Alabama and Mississippi and parts of Texas and whatever the hell, and just to, you know, build a big wall. You know, the wall they're always talking about putting up, you know, between Texas and Mexico. Just put a big wall up there, arm it. You can dig a moat and, you know, put some mines in it like in Escape from New York. Mine the bridges. And, you know, that's it. And let them eat each other up. Go for it. You know what? I can't wait to trade with them to see what they've got to trade. Well, here I got a parts of an old old pickup truck I got rusting in my front yard. I can trade that for what do you got for me?
Got some.
Well, we have industry, you hick.
Industry. We got some tchotchkes from south of the border. Got some roadkill barbecue.
I got this here. This here wind-up gerbil that runs in a little circle. I got that at Cracker Barrel. What will you give me for that?
Yeah, I mean, again, a perfect illustration of a bunch of people voting against their own economic best interest. Because they have some sort of twisted, backwards morality.
I also believe in freaking 2,000-year-old superstition, and that is God's...
Yeah.
Once again, look at the calendar, 2012. And you're adhering to the writings of people who literally knew nothing about anything.
Yeah.
Staggering.
Yep. Well, I think I haven't heard something as illustrative as that, as far as what's happening in the red states.
There you go.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely, and we'll see you on the after party. Take care, Chess.
See ya.